Thank the Lord for His blessing to us in all the music today and Scripture and being together. He wonderfully is near to us, and we call on His name as He reminds us of what He preached on the Sermon on the Mount. Boy, a great preacher Jesus was. That's an understatement. And remember the Sermon on the Mount? You might look at it as a big picture when the Lord is telling us that God is very righteous and we don't have any righteousness in our own self. So we need to turn to Him and have our lives changed. And He continues to paint a great picture of what a life could be like with Christ at the center of a heart. And He preaches this message. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And a paraphrase of that Eugene Peterson wrote in the Message Bible is this. I really like this focus. He says, "Blessed are you when you get your inside world straightened out." Your inside world is right here. What's going on in your heart. Then you'll be able to see God in your outside world. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And years ago, one seminary teacher would always ask the incoming freshman students a question, and he kind of made it a survey thing and compiled all the answers to the question. And the question was simply this to these young seminary students: what does it take to be a good Christian? I think that's a great question and something we would all ask ourselves. And it'll be up on the screen here, their responses. What's it take to be a good Christian? Number one was to attend worship. Number two was to go to Sunday school or meet God in His Word. Do that on a consistent basis. Three was praying. Fourth was tithes and offerings as an act of worship to God and thanking the Lord for what He gave. And the fifth one was to tell others about Jesus. And when I looked at the question and also the responses, I thought, boy, that if I could do that, you know, would I be a good Christian? I would certainly be doing some good things outwardly, for sure. And the teacher, though, pointed out something that was a little bit faulty in the responses of the people. Four out of the five responses had to do with the person's outward world, at least in terms of superficially. In other words, worship and Sunday school, praying and giving, you can pretty much do that and not be at peace with God in your heart. That could just be an outward activity. And I have to confess, in my own life, many times, not only before I knew Christ, I would go to church and do those things, but certainly not be pure in heart. And even as a Christian, I can do those things and have outward activities, but inside feel 100 miles away from the Lord. And I don't know if you've ever been there. But Jesus would come and tell us something that He wants to work on us from the inside out. That's where the health is, starting from the inside out. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I thought how difficult it is to be pure in heart. The word pure means to have a single devotion or a single focus in your life, a single ingredient. I thought of a time when the first time I saw a little bottle of spices that I wanted to put on some bread, and the spice was vanilla, a little bottle. How big, you know, how much spice could be in a little bottle? 100% pure vanilla. No water in there, no sugar, no nothing. And so you take a big spoonful and, whoa, you know, pure, really, of one thing. And how can our hearts be really of God only? Well, it's going to take His help and us crying out for that help. Difficult to be pure in our hearts. Thank you, fellows, for that. I remember seeing purity of heart being important and difficult in the community where we came from up in Erie County in Union City, where we lived for 13 years. We were very near an Amish community that had a lot of things going for it. They didn't have cars, for one thing, so their lifestyle was slower than ours. Every Monday they would come through town in their horse and buggy and did their shopping and such like that. And they had some strengths in their community. But I was surprised to find out, through some others who knew them well, that in the Amish community, they had a constant problem, like the rest of the world, with immorality. And I'm totally dumbfounded by that. I was thinking, how could the Amish have a problem with immorality? No fast cars to go, you know, gallivanting around and carousing. Family values were strong. Dress was very, very conservative. Everybody wore a hat, summer, winter, and spring, and fall, you know. So if you wanted to know what the person looked like, you just had to say, well, nice hat today. Didn't even know if they had a nice haircut or not. So how is immorality possible in that kind of setting? Jesus lets us know it's a heart matter. It's a condition of the heart. He says in Mark chapter 7, from within a person's heart come immorality or murder or greed. All that stuff starts from the inside. It's not just a matter of prevention, sin management in terms of outward behavior. It's a matter of a change of heart, which only Christ can bring. And part of the good news of Christ is that He can bring change to a heart. He can make a heart that's impure, like ours is without Christ, to a heart that is focused on God. And He shares that with us. And hearts that are clean, repentant, and forgiven hearts are hearts that are clean. Blessed are those pure in heart. They shall see God. I appreciated this past week both missionaries. And the first missionary, Nancy Martinez, shared a book with me early in the week. She said, you have to read this book. It's really good. It's about a condition of a person's soul. And the author is Larry Crabb. So I read the book. And Larry Crabb in that book said that any one given time, as we go throughout a week or in a worship service or whatever, that there's a focus in our hearts that go on. And at any one given time, we're either, he used this phrase, he said, we're either radically self-centered or radically God-centered. And I thought, wow, that's quite a statement about the condition of a heart. Radically self-centered or radically God-centered. And without, of course, the Lord being the center of things, we know where we're going to end up. I was reminded years ago, I was in a place that sold sunglasses. I think it was by the ocean, so you have these places go in and buy a dollar pair of sunglasses. And those sunglasses that I saw had a little insignia, I guess for style's sake. You can get one with a little rainbow on the side of it or a little something or other, and then you see, but then you see your little rainbow or whatever. So I thought, that's annoying. But in terms of a radically self-centered focus, what if I put my photograph, just a little one of me, on the inside of my glasses, right there and right there. And I put those things on. And anytime I went anywhere, who would be the center of attention? I would see, there I am, right in the center. At work, how is work affecting me? I'm very concerned about that. Go to my family. Is my family making me happy? That's what I see in the middle of my vision over here. And on I go. And what a destructive way to live. What a way to live that it's not based on reality. It's bound to pass away, you might say, that kind of lifestyle. But what if we had a radically God-centered life? And it would take more than just putting something on our glasses, but if you put a cross on your glasses so that as you saw life, as you saw people, you wouldn't just see people, you'd remember Christ, a death for people and rising from the dead for them. And you'd see work differently and family life. Oh, I thought our problems were the middle of what was going on. Really, it was Christ who was the middle of everything that was going on. Because when we say, Lord, bless us, give us a pure heart, that's what God helps us do. He helps us to see Him. And He opens our eyes. We begin to see the universe as a Christ-centered universe. It's a God-saturated world, even though it's fallen. Eugene Peterson said, Jesus plays well in 10,000 different places. You think about that. I think it was last week, early in the week, there were awards given out for different accomplishments in the movie industry. Best actor, best supporting actor, best director, best producer. And you can give people awards and say, thank you for your good job. in terms of our life, you know what really is the case? A best director, Jesus. Best producer, Jesus. He wins again. Best actor, main actor, Jesus. Best supporting actor, as a matter of fact. How did he win both of them? He does. The whole world is full of his glory. The whole earth. That's what Isaiah said. Aren't you glad that the whole world isn't filled with just you and I? We just multiply our own self-centeredness at that point. That's what humanity looks like apart from God. It's not a good picture. But the reality of things is Christ has the supremacy in everything. If we say, Lord, give me a pure heart so I might see you, how much we need that. And I think, first of all, it's a call to repentance in our heart. If I know I'm going to have a dirty heart or a self-centered heart without God, I say, God, give me a clean heart. Jesus wants to bless me with that. So first, a matter of repentance. How can we repent? One Christian preacher said this, to search our hearts and say, see the condition of your heart in these settings. When your schedule is full and your to-do list is too long, you're just going along in the pace of life, which for most of us is too fast and not thoughtful enough. Do you lose your cool or do you keep your cool? Depends on the condition of your heart, isn't it? When you hear gossip or somebody gossips to you about another person, do you pass it on or do you turn it down? Depends on the condition of our heart. When you see a person who's in great need spiritually or perhaps or physically, a homeless person, do you say, there's a burden on society? Or do you say, there's an opportunity for God's compassion? It really depends on the condition of our heart. When you see a person in sin and just weighed down by sin or caught in a sin that they can't break loose of, do you say, well, I told you so. That's the way they are. Or do you say, Christ can bring change and forgiveness to that person's heart? It depends on the condition of our heart. Lord, so we pray with King David, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. We have many problems as believers, for sure. But at the root of all of our problems is the heart problem. We need a clean heart. And only Christ can give that. He promises in Ezekiel 37, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a soft heart or a heart of flesh as opposed to a heart of stone. Heart of stone is the radical, self-centered heart. We have great songs that remind us of that. Of needing to have our eyes open to God, the scales of sin fall off so we could see Him, to have a clean heart inside. I like the chorus, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. It's a good prayer to pray when you open your Bible. Don't just open your Bible to say, got to have my devotions today. Open your Bible, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. And when you go to work and get out of bed, the need of God's intervention at that point. Because you and I, we can't clean our hearts up by ourselves. That's the work of man's religion, and it doesn't work. You can't give yourself a clean heart. You can't take the blinders off your own eyes. But God can give us a clean heart. And He can make our eyes open. One of the hymns says, you dwellers in darkness, with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. So we say, Lord, come and give me a new heart. Give me that clean heart that I don't have on my own. Psalm 84, a similar prayer. Lord, give me an undivided heart of devotion to you. And the prayer of these Greek fellows, they didn't know hoot about the Lord, you know. And they come to worship. And what do they say? They say a good thing. Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. And to ask God for a heart after Himself, a clean heart, it's a matter of repentance. And you may be, Roy shared in his testimony, there was a measure of sadness in the years where he just did his own thing. Fraternity brother, you know. And he said, that didn't get me anywhere. But the joy came in the turning. So God calls us to turn to Him. What an invitation. What a pleasant thing He helps us to. And then turn to Him in your heart if you've never confessed Him. Just say, Lord, I want to see You. Give me a clean heart. I can't clean it up myself. And God will be faithful. And then the blessing Jesus gives, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God, is a message of comfort. Comfort. We need to see God when things are rough. I'm reminded of the testimony of Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was a Russian writer, very intelligent man. He was put in prison because of his political views in the former Soviet Union. And in that cold prison, had no friends, had no family, very little comforts to get him through day to day. But he gave his heart over to God in that prison. And his life was changed. He got hold of a Bible somehow. And he wrote about his experience in prison, a phrase that has been part of his testimony. He wrote the phrase, blessed prison. Blessed prison. Because he saw in every inch of that terrible experience, he saw in every inch of that prison the presence of Christ. And it was more powerful than the trial itself. And how only but God could give that to our hearts. He had a clean heart, a pure heart, so he saw God. And if you'd ask him, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, what do you remember most about prison life? Must have been a terrible thing. His credible testimony was, you know what I remember the most? Christ. I remember him the most about the whole experience. How about you? What do you remember about your biggest trial? It's a terrible trial. Trial you wouldn't choose for yourself. What would you say, Lord, a clean heart to see God. To see God. And sometimes you might see him in hindsight. Couldn't see him necessarily when the bad experience was happening. You might be able to see him in hindsight as he comforts you today. And in my life, I've often prayed just in terms of fellowship with God. This prayer, I don't know if you could catch it. Lord, could I have one day where I walk in unbroken fellowship with you? That every day I just see you from the morning, from the time I open my eyes and grouchily get out of bed, from the morning to the place where the sun sets and I go to sleep, could I have unbroken fellowship with yourself and just see you everywhere? I have to say, I've not had a day like that. But it's good to ask God for that. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. You shall see God. And even when we see him slowly or in a difficult way, and I hope this last great true story is a comfort to some who have a hard time seeing God, even when you feel like, my heart's right with God, but I don't see him. Story of Larry Crabb's father, who went to the hospital for serious heart surgery. And the surgery was more difficult than usual. So he had physical disabilities, emotional disabilities coming out of that rough time. This is part of his testimony. He said, so many good friends came to visit me during those awful days. But God never showed up. The one I wanted the most was seen the least. I never sensed his presence even for a moment. And then he goes on to write this. I guess God wanted me to believe he was there just because he said he would be there for me. I am so grateful for his promised presence. And for some of you, as you think back on a trial or maybe a trial you're going through, you might say, I asked Jesus as much as I could for a clean heart, and I wanted to know his help. And I didn't think he brought it. But he said he'd be there. So I'm going to trust that he was there. I'm going to trust that he let me get to know him better and put my life back together because of what had happened. Wouldn't you like to have a heart like that, a clean heart? Well, we ask when we don't have it. We ask, and God would provide. Jesus would give the blessing today. Blessed are the pure in heart. Would you like a pure heart? For they shall see God. Wouldn't you like a week this week where somebody said, and how did your week go? And you don't have to sound like you're living on with angel wings on, you know, and a halo. But you say, you know what? It was a good week because I saw God every day. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord, we turn to Him at this time for that gift. Let's pray together as His people. Father, we pray together as a people, and we ask, Father, and help heaven that You'd help us find Jesus at the center of everything, because that's the way You truly are, Lord. We wouldn't want to live in our own sense of unreality or delusions, but rather live life the way it really is. So, Lord, help us to see You at the center of everything, because You are there. And then, Father, I pray for comfort for some who still perhaps today think of a trial or in days past and say, where was God? I did not see Him. Jesus, would You bring a memory of Your hand helping through that time, that you were indeed beside Your loved one, caring and giving and calling to Yourself in some real manner, and just being there for them. And dear Jesus, we pray for any here today that would cry out to You and have never said, Lord, come into my life, be my Lord. My heart's anything but clean. Help that one or several, Father, to say, Jesus, make me clean. Be my Lord and Savior. How faithful You are. And what a great thing, Father, as we have testimony and song or word that I know, Lord, You've never turned a person away who turned to You sincerely. You gave that singleness of heart when the request was there. Might there be many requests such for the blessing of Christ today. We pray in the name of our Lord. Amen.